Welcome to the SOAP Bible Study Series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. We are starting a brand new, well, not just a book. We're going to do a series. We're going to do a three-pack this time. This is not normal for us.
We usually do them one
at a time, but...
Exactly. Well, they're all similar, right? So we decided to tackle them all together. And that is 1 John, 2 John, and
3
John. but the idea is 2 John and 3 John are one chapters each.
Yeah.
1 John is 5. So it kind of fits together and makes...
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes a unit of work.
Well, and the theme actually, there's really a thread that actually does fit with it. I mean, they're not exactly the same, but you can, especially 2 John. I mean, it's like he almost wrote it at the same time as 1 John. Yeah. He's, you know, several of the same thought.
Yeah. So kind of the funny thing is John doesn't provide proof that he wrote it, you know, and, you know, from John. We see in 2 and 3rd, John's that John says from the elder, which is
the elder,
right? Yeah.
Like, well, but you have to remember that he wrote so much later than all of the rest of the New Testament, and really that includes the Gospel of John and the Revelation too.
Yeah.
So these five books he wrote much later than everything else. Probably the last ones written. All of the other apostles had died at that point.
Right.
A lot of the other church leaders had probably died at that point. He really was the elder, age and spiritual maturity and everything. He was the only one left, really.
Yeah. So even though we don't know he wrote it, there are some clues. And one is when you read the Gospel of John and then you read 1 John, you go, wow, that's really close
to
each other.
There's no question.
The themes, the words, everything.
In fact, 1 John, I really think that 1 John is like the expanded commentary of the Upper Room Discourse. So chapters 13 through 16 of the Gospel of John, Jesus is giving these new teachings, especially after Judas leaves, this new teaching for the 11 apostles who are going to start the church. And I think 1 John, not just those chapters, but really relies on those and says, okay, that was nutshell stuff. Now,
let's go into this.
Having reflected on this for so long, you know, now I can see what he was saying, and it's sort of like an expansion.
Yeah. I always think it's cool when we... You know, when Christians have some trouble that they're trying to figure out, you know, they get pointed to 1 John.
Yeah.
Right. And then when new believers get pointed to John.
Yeah.
Similar but different.
Yeah.
In that way, which is kind of neat.
So 1 John can actually, and we'll see this over the next couple of weeks, 1 John can really scare you off because it is, I mean, again, this
if you're sin, you're not with God.
Yeah. Yeah. This is really a black and white. It's almost as if John, and again, end of his life, you know, 90 plus years old.
Yeah, he's not worried about offending anyone. I got some stuff to say.
Exactly. What 1 John does is it presents the ideal. If I were living the path perfectly, this is what it should look like. Right? Yeah. So it can scare us off because it's like, oh, well, nobody can do that. But at the same time, it should give us something to shoot for, right? Okay, so now I can see, and it should convict us and say, all right, I can see where I'm supposed to be going because this is what it should look like. He talks about, you know, being ashamed when Jesus comes. He talks about really the key is abiding in Christ. This is about Christians. And that's the biggest misinterpretation that people make is, well, this is for non-saved people or maybe these aren't really Christians. No, these are really Christians. And the whole theme is if you abide in Christ, this is what you can become. And if you don't, all bets are off.
Right. One of the other reasons why we think it was John, early church fathers knew John and connected the letters to him, so which is a pretty strong thing.
Yeah.
So we find in 1 John very direct, like you were saying, and John tells us what sides Christians need to be on.
Yeah.
And he's also compassionate. Right, he refers to the reader as, you know, childrens or little children.
Well, he was old.
Yeah. Everybody was a little children
at that point. Yeah, well, but yeah, there's maturity and age.
Yeah, beloved little children, my little children. That's another big one.
He's the mother hen, right? Yeah. And he sees himself that way.
Yep.
All right, so John lets everybody know why he wrote the letter in chapter 1, and he says, so that the reader may have fellowship with each other, as Christians should, and the Father and Son.
Yeah.
And also that John's joy would be complete.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
which is kind of cool.
Yeah, there are actually four reasons that John says, you know, this is the purpose for writing, and we'll run into those again in like chapter 2 and 5. He sort of builds it out.
He also reminds everybody that he actually heard, saw, and touched these things that he's going to relate.
Yeah.
Right? I was there. I saw this.
Yep.
I heard this. You know, I was physically, you know, in the middle of it.
Yeah. And specifically, he's writing about Jesus himself. Right. Yeah. So, he's the last eyewitness.
Yeah. So then he defines the gospel message that he got from Jesus. And this is consistent with the gospel of John, where he said over and over, believe in the Father and the Son he sent.
Yeah.
Right. He's just keeping it very simple there.
Yeah. Yeah.
John also reiterates, God is light with no darkness. And I think you were saying, he does a lot of these contrasts.
Yeah, lots of these. He's got truth and error, light and darkness. You know, all of this stuff is going to be pretty common here in John, in 1 John.
Yeah. So he goes on and says, if we say we have fellowship with God, yet we still walk in the darkness, we're lying and not practicing the truth.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things, I don't have a lot of time. Here it is. I'm laying it out. And sometimes you're like, ouch.
Yeah.
Right. And then, of course, he does the opposite, too. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with other Christians through Jesus's blood. And he uses that. He uses that a lot, that kind of method of going back and forth, especially in chapter one.
Yeah. Yeah. There are actually three claims in chapter one that if we say, but instead, if we do this, if we say, so somebody was making these claims.
Yeah,
it seems to be that somebody was making these claims, and he was either saying,
"That's a great point.
Stop making these claims, because if you make these claims, here's what you're really doing," or maybe he's pointing them out. You know, there are people out there making these claims. That's false. Don't go there. Don't go there. You know, just sort of warning them.
Right. Because like you said, we're 60 years past the first gospels that it came out.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's three generations in there, or can be. And John is reporting now what he's seeing, right? We got to worry about false teachers. We'll see. False teachers are already in the church.
Oh yeah.
Now it's bigger. We gotta worry about these. Now we gotta do something about.
Yeah, it's
these.
Really interesting as you read through the New Testament. Paul said false teachers are coming.
Right.
Peter and Jude said false teachers are here, and we'll get into 1 John, and he'll say false teachers have been here, and they've already destroyed things
and moved on to other things.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting. You can watch the timeline as you read some of the New Testament.
Yeah. So another one of those if-thens. If we confess our sins, we are faithful and just, and he will remove our sins. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us.
Yeah. And the positive side of that one actually comes at the beginning of chapter 2. So the chapter break is a little bit weird. But yeah, right. these are really, really important claims. And that each one gets harder. Or harsher, I should say. You know, you're lying to yourself, all the way up to you're calling him a liar. You're calling God a liar if you make this claim. It's like, whoa, dude.
Yeah. So chapter 2 starts with my little children. So mm-hmm. again, he's easing things in, and he starts with writing. I'm writing this so you don't sin.
Yeah. So there's another purpose statement.
Yeah, but. If anyone does sin,
or
even when anyone does sin,
we
can have our sins forgiven by Jesus.
Yeah.
And this is important for what's coming up soon.
Yeah.
It's nice a recognition, though, that John is acknowledging we're not perfect yet. You know, our goal is obviously to be, we want to be. We're not there yet.
Yeah. So he's presenting, here's what it should look like, and we're still falling short, but... Yeah, again, there's that goal, you know, we know what we're shooting for.
Right.
Yeah.
Now we're going to see the same statement happens, I think, 6 times in 1 John, and it starts with, or close to, by this we know.
Yeah.
And the first one says, now by this we know that we have come to know God if we keep his commandments.
Yeah. Which is, and again, there's this spectrum. And even though he's talking, you know, sort of black and white and, you know, all or nothing, there's this spectrum. We have come to know God. There's this process going on, right? And it's really interesting that we know. This isn't necessarily that you know that I've come to know God, but I know that I've come to know God,
right?
Right? It's an internal assurance, not necessarily an external thing. So, you know, am I keeping his commandments? Okay, well, I'm doing the right stuff. Am I doing it with the right heart and everything? You can't see that in me, right? But I can see that in me. And so there's a lot of assurance, internal assurance going on in this letter.
Yeah. God said, if we're a Christian, we should be following God's commandments and obeying his words. And this really means we need to follow God and not the rules.
Yeah.
And that in itself, this is not a new commandment.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all the way back to the Old Testament, right?
Yeah.
God did give them a bunch of rules, but he really just wanted them to follow himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then John restates that God is light with no darkness.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool at the end of two, or maybe it's the middle of two.
Yeah, about the middle.
Yeah, John puts Christians into four categories, and he gives a definition.
Yeah.
For them, and then he restates it, and he kind of moves some of the definitions around too, which is fine. But the idea is that all of us need to love God, and their fellow Christians, and the delineation seems like it's spiritual maturity.
Yeah,
that we're going with.
Yeah, and we've talked about this here at Oak Tree a lot of times. Right. I call this my spiritual maturity clock. He talks about infants, little children, young people, and adults, right? And each one, and the rest of the New Testament spends a lot of time talking about these two, but to see all four of them in one package is really interesting. And you can see infants, they know the Father. That's it. There's nothing special. It just that's all they know.
Yeah.
But then each level grows, right, in their knowledge and in their practice and in their everything.
Yeah. Right. And like you were saying, so, you know, babies or infants, that's the first season in there.
Yeah.
And they're going to be spiritually immature.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Everybody is. So a 50-year-old person who accepts Christ for the first time in their life, they are going to be spiritually immature.
Yeah.
It just is.
Right. And it's okay to be a baby or a young child or whatever spiritually, it's just not okay to stay there.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And that's what John is trying to push us and push us onto growth.
Right. This section ends with, do not love the world or things in the world. The world is passing away with all its desires, but the person who does the will of God remains forever.
Yeah.
And I love that from the idea, you know, we're often told, you know, we have to be in the world, but not of the world. And you're like, okay, what does that mean? And John kind of defines it there. Nicely.
Yeah.
He then switches to false teachers. He calls them antichrist. Also depends on your translations. And these are the people who are now boldly teaching false doctrine from inside the church.
Yeah.
And what's cool is John tells us how to find these people.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, what's the key? He says the one that is the antichrist, the person who denies the Father and the Son.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's got to be harder than that, right?
Yeah, no.
But he has said in John also all over, it's everyone who denies the Son does not have the Father either.
Yeah.
And it was always, if you know the Father, you know the Son. If you know the Son, you know the Father.
Yeah. It's a doctrinal litmus test. And we'll see this throughout, you know, the rest of the letters too. It's like, listen, you can do all the right stuff. You can, you know, whatever. But if your teachers, if you're teaching does not meet the standard of Scripture.
Yeah. If they're not even saying that.
If they're not even at that level, you know, they're false teachers. And he talks about, you know, they're like antichrists. And he'll come back in chapter 4 and say, basically, there is still an antichrist, the antichrist coming. But these are like living out the spirit of antichrist almost, you know. And it's... and we see this today, churches that claim to be Christian churches and everything, but they're not,
right?
They're not teaching the Bible,
right?
You know, so yeah, this is
two chapters,
1900-year-old problem that we still have today. And yeah, and that brings us to the end, almost to the end of chapter 2.
Right.
And we're 40% of the way through the book already.
Nice.
Short book, you know. But yeah, lots of stuff packed in here. I love 1 John. It's really fantastic. Please take your time. Read it very carefully. Read it slowly. Make your observations, you know, SOAP, P, S-O-A-P, right? Yeah. So S-O-A-P, read the scripture, make your observations. We're looking for applications or how we can respond to the text. And we want to do it in a prayerful way so that we can submit to the Holy Spirit. So as you make your observations and ask your questions, feel free to send those in. We love to hear those. And we'd love to walk with you through this, you know, along with you. Subscribe or follow so that you are notified when we put new content out here on our channel. And we will pick up here when we come back next time.